Yes.
What would you like? Would you like to ask some questions? Or you would like some talk? You have been hearing talk so many. It is up to you what you would like to have. Day to day you find every day there are so many accidents everywhere. They come up as a result of the reactions of the past.
Is there any problem in leaving your body in meditation if you have a weak heart?
Well, by meditation you mean to say? Yes, meditation does not affect weak or strong heart, you see. That is just withdrawing of the soul which gives strength to the body. Heart works at the level of prana, the air, vitalness, you see. So by withdrawing the sensory current, heart is not affected, because pranas go on, you see. There are two powers working in the body. One is of the pranas and the vital airs, and the other is of the soul. The prana, the currents of the vital layers of prana are called motor currents. And the currents of the soul are called sensory currents. So that affects in the way the yogis take up, because they control the pranas. Okay. When prana will be down, naturally heart will be affected. But if the prana are not touched, only sensory current is withdrawn, that does not affect the heart eyes. It goes on everything. Because the pranas are working even when you are withdrawn from the body. So there's a difference, vast difference between the withdrawal from the body of a yogi and a follower of the path of the masters. In the yogic way, both pranas and the soul are withdrawn. In that case, naturally, that affects the heart. But in the way of the path of the masters, pranas are not touched, so it is the soul that is current set of the dog. So that is why that has little or nothing to do with the heart. But in that case, if you are with dog, you see sensory current to be dog, when it resumes the body, that is charge, like a charge given to the body. And perhaps in many cases, weakness of heart is cured, because you will find the curative power is in our souls. Let's see, I'll give you an example, you see. Doctors are there not to cure mind that. They are there only to clear the way to help nature to work. Any retardation in the system that is removed, and the rest is for that God power, the soul power, which is working in the body. You think I tell you, just see the case of those who cannot afford to go to the doctors. They have their sickness, and that passes out in few days. They don't take anything. Fasting is the best medicine, you see. When the poor fellow cannot afford to have their food even, naturally they fast. In 2 or 3 days, the disease goes. By fasting, whatever the foreign matter is in the body, that is near practically. So the rest remains for the soul to cure, you see. It is the curative power in the soul that cures the body. Mind that, not the doctor. Although we pay fee for that, their help is only to just let the system, if there's any thing standing in the working of the system, that is removed. I met a doctor when I was reading, you see, very old days. So I went to him what he used to do. He simply would write a very long prescription. I think he was an allopathic doctor. He would just give me about 10, 12, 13 medicines, long prescription. I was sitting by him, and I watched that he did written a very long prescription. But what he did actually, he took a bottle, put some aquarium chest in it, and some peppermint. That's all. He shook the bottle, and the bottle was not full. He said, put more aquarium chest to fill the bottle. He gave something laxative along with it. And the patient went away. And he asked the doctor, well, what have you done? You are leaving a little long prescription, but you have put only one laxative thing and one little peppermint or cardamom, some extract thereof. He says, well, truly speaking, doctors cannot cure. They simply remove any impediment in the system that I have given him laxative. That will be clear. Then 1 or 2 days he will be all right. So curative power lies in the soul. We simply have to just get the system free of all foreign matter. That's all. So soul has a great curative power. Also, we'll find, take the example, you see. We are very hungry. You have come and put one morsel of food in your mouth, 1 or 2, then you drink quarter a cup of water, you feel strength. Well, truly speaking, that food for 1 morsel or 2 which you have taken, that must give strength only when it is digested, not before, but you feel strength. What it is that gives you that satisfaction. So, truly speaking, you see, it is the soul that has the curative power. Diseases come and go, that is due to the, we break the law of nature, we eat too much, which is not digested, and the foreign matter in the system that retards the circulation of blood and digestion system, and there's difficulty. If that is removed, you find in 2 or 3 days you are recovered. Sometimes you take medicines. Some medicine go to just put down, not to clear, you see, cure the disease, but simply action, reaction. By taking so many medicines, our cases become still integrated. So best thing to have, let the soul work in its own way past. So purity power lies in the soul. And also by taking masters one or two in the mouth you can get strength that comes from the soul. So soul has a great power. God is so great that with one word of His, He created the whole universe. Our souls are also of the same essence as that of God. We are also very, very powerful. But as our souls, the expression of which is called attention, that is diffused into the world, we feel very feeble, very weak. If we draw all attention into our own self, we feel very strong. So it is the soul that has the curative power. And we have to know that. That is, what is the difference between an average man and a master? Average man is like that, as I told you. His attention, which is the expression of the soul, is diffused into the world through the outgoing faculties. And the master is one who has controlled his attention at his command. With so much froth and foam on the sea, you will find the water running underneath his skin. He is still at heart, but he has also the power to control his attention at will. So with that, he although works too much, with all that he is compensated. I remember our master, you see, once he had a very bad cold, he could not breathe. When I asked three questions, just may I bring some medicine? He said, no, Kirwan, no medicine required, I'll just little lie down at the orders. So this is what I mean to say, that there is great power within our own selves, and that we have forgotten. Master, come, tell us, well, look here, you are great in man. If you know how to control your outgoing faculties, through which our attention, which is the expression of soul, goes out and is identified with the outside thing, diffused in so many ways, if you know how to concentrate and withdraw your attention from outside, you have great power. Just take the example of the sun rays. Sun rays do not burn us. When those rays are passed through a convex lens, whatever thing you put on the other side, that will begin to burn. So similarly, it is said that masters who know this, how to withdraw their attention, control it at their will, and become the mouthpiece of God, or come in contact with the God in expression power, they can live on that for days and days and months, you see. That is why Christ said, we cannot live on bread alone. This outside bread, no. There's more powerful bread, the bread of life, which is within us, each one of us. That is called the world. That is the goal of all creation. That is the controlling power of all. universe controls our bodies, our souls in the body. So that when they just dip into themselves, they can sense. So that is the true bread of life, you see. That is why Christ said, I am the bread of life. This bread of life has come down from heaven. Whoever partakes of it gets everlasting life. Then what was that bread, you say? Or the water of life, what the Master says? You find, they refer to it, all Masters in their own scriptures, of course in their own languages. They said, Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. So Word, what is called Word? Word is that God into expression power, that worldless state of God when it came to being, that God into action or God into expression power of the worldless state of God is what is called Word. That is the bed of life. And we have our own self, I tell you. Our soul being of the same essence as that of God. When we are also, in a small scale, great satisfaction, great satiety, I would say. You don't need any food whatsoever. There are so many classes of people. There are meatarians, there are fruitarians, there are vegetarians, there are water agents, then come there are air agents. I have seen men who can live on no bread, merely on air only. There was one lady at the time of her master. She did not take any food, any water. She never paid any calls of nature, answered any calls of nature. He worked for every ordinary. So that is what his master sometimes refer to it. We don't follow exactly what they say. What Christ said, we cannot live on bread alone. Bread is the food for the body. Maybe in the form of meat, vegetables, fruits, or other things. When you rise above it, you can even live on water. For days and days and days together. Even without water you can. This is the development, I tell you. That satiety or satisfaction or health, you might say, that is Master's hand when they are fully developed. So when they come, they awaken us. They say, well, look here, why are you going in a delusion? You have the great power. You are what you say. You are spirit in man. We are soul, your souls, not the bodies. The soul has the same power on a smaller scale as God has it. God is all satisfaction. God is all bliss. God does not live on anything, you see. That is the food in Himself. Our soul being of the same essence as that of God, it is also the same quality as God on this mortal plane. If you know how to live within your own self, by withdrawing outside, there's no hunger, there's no water. And Masters have referred quoting the scriptures. They said, there's no sleep and there's no hunger. There's no thirst. When soul rises above all these, what you say, tentacles of the body and outer some things. Feel full satisfaction and for days together. I told you that lady lived for so many years. We ourselves saw her. She was working all the day, taking bath, going out, attending satsangs, and doing other work. And also I just read in a book, lately given out by Dr. who has just passed away, he referred to that we can live on air alone. So these are something, you see, not only referred to, but hints are given here, there, and there. But we do not truly understand what it was. You can live without earning in full strength, if you know how to live, rise within your own self. To wait in man, so when our masters come, they come to awaken us. When look here, they tell us, when look here, you have forgotten, you see, your bliss, your joy, happiness, your satisfaction, you see, personified. But you have come under the control of mind, and mind has come under the control of outgoing faculties, and our soul is just drifted away the attention, listening to the outside things, and identifies with them. We are awake from outside, but asleep within. They come often, and we are awake, you see. It is just like, I'll give you an example, just there are two gases, one is oxygen, the other is hydrogen. Oxygen gas is a life-giving thing. When patients are dangerously ill, they give the oxygen cylinder to give life. But hydrogen is a gas that goes to just stop your throat, stop your breathing. When two things are just mixed up in a certain proportion, H2O, that just becomes something, the property of which is different from both the gases. So it is something like that. Our soul is pure consciousness. It has got the same qualities as that of God on a miniature scale. God in all wisdom, just see. And even the child born, he wants to know every time something more. He goes on all through life, he knows, he understands, learns and unlearns so many things, and not satisfied. And the Upanishads tell us, what is that by knowing which nothing more remains to be known. That is, your soul is withdrawn from mind and outgoing faculties. You rise within your own self. You are wisdom. You see, God is all wisdom, and you are also wisdom. When you know within your own self, you rise. You awaken to your own self, you might say. You see there's satisfaction. And when you come in contact with God, well, you are all wisdom. God is everlasting, where nobody even dreams of dying. The man is sick, anything he wants to live. That is unnatural. The reflection of God is within us, because he is everlasting. Even our soul is everlasting. With all what we see, that soul duly is the body, with all that we know, at heart of hearts, be convinced that we have to leave the body. Why? That reflection of God is within our soul. God is love. When naturally we have love, that is innate in us. The question remains where it is attached. When our love, our soul, as I told you, God is light, God is light, and God is love, our souls being of the same essence of God, we are also the same. That is why you find in Corinthians, know ye not that your spirit is man? If so, why you doubt that you will die? Why you are afraid of? So by knowing self, our self is all, everything. So if we just dip into our own self, you see, arise within our own self, you might say. Or you may say, if you just liberate your soul from mind and outgoing faculties, you are joy and happiness and bliss itself. You are satisfaction itself. You are all joy, love. But when that is attached to the outgoing faculties, to such like things which are not lasting but changing every moment of life, naturally for the period, for the time, you remain attached with that. You see? You feel joy, happiness, satisfaction. When you are in dawn, or those things are taken away from you, you feel unhappiness. And our souls, so long as these are tied to the outside things, we are changing every moment of life. We are sometimes attached here, then we don't, then attached there, then we don't. This thing gives us unhappiness. Whereas we are all joy, all bliss, all perfection, all love. So masters give us an experience. He says, well, man, look here, you are not this body. You are, your true home is the home of your Father, which is all consciousness. You were on the same class of religion as that of your Father, who is everlasting. You came once from that home, but you are stuck fast in this dust of body and out of things. How long will you continue that delusion? So he comes up, he says, dear friend, all masters tell like that. Manaro says, also you belong to the heavens. You are now stuck fast in the dust of the body and outside attachments. It should be shame for you. You are just dweller of the true home of your Father of the heavens. You are stuck fast in the world. If you see some son of a king playing in the street boys, what do people tell him? Shame on you, you are son of a king, why are you growing with the sweet boy? So something like that, whenever masters come, you see, they say, look, your soul, your true home is that which is everlasting, unchangeable permanence, but you are now stuck fast in body and outgoing faculties. Identified with the outside thing so much so that you have forgotten. So they come up, we are sent here. Why are we sent here? We don't know, but it is God who sent us. But so long we have come here, we have forgotten our own self. Our souls, you see, our conscious entities have the same qualities as that of God. And that is mixed up with mind, identified with it so much so that become active. You see, whatever is sown, we shall reap. Action, reaction, go on. If somehow or other we can liberate ourselves from the outgoing faculties and from mind, we are of the same essence as that of God, we are spirit in man. We have got the same qualities as that of God, that God has got. And when we come in tune, become the mouthpiece of God, God does wonderful things. So for that reason, the one who has sent us into the world, saying, they are all my children who have gone to the world and they have forgotten coming back to their true home. Then God sends perfected souls through whom God works to call them back to their true home. So Guru Arjan says, whoever has sent you into the world, he has come now to guide you back to your true home. And what to do? Well, you are a thing. What you say? You are a prince. Princess, yes. Prince. Son of God. You have to enjoy all this and everything. So all Master has spoken of about the greatness of man. Man is considered to be the highest in all creations, but we have forgotten our own selves. We consider that this very world is our home, where Master clearly says the world is not our home. It is changing every moment of life. They say in 7 years the whole body is renewed, the whole universe becomes renewed altogether. So body is the first companion, you say, that enters. When we enter in the world, that is the first companion. But when we leave the world, it does not go along with us. And the things through misdirected love, to which we are attached, to the possessions of the whole world, what results? How can they go along with us? So Masters, whenever they come, they tell us, look here, all your, this body, including everything else, they are not, they are your two companions, because they leave you at the time of death. Just come in contact with somebody who will not leave you even at the time of death. And who can that be? He is a man to all intents and purposes. He is a man like ourselves, outwardly and inwardly. But he has realized his soul. Yet well, he works in the world in many thoughts and home, but he is very much conscious of his own self, conscious co-worker of the divine plan. He knows what he is, but he has to act and pose in the world. When he wishes, he can rise above body consciousness into the beyond and have a dip there. So, whenever they come, they tell us, well, look here, these worldly things in which you are just attached, none of these things can go with you. You are conscious entities. Analyze yourself from mind and matter and know yourself who you are. So we are under grand illusion, you see. All masters who came in the past, they always gave out, know thyself. We know we are not the bodies. We know we are not outwardly, we have to leave one day all this mad body and along with this attached relations. We are embodied soul, we are spirited man. If we know ourselves, when we know what Master says, be still physically and intellectually, and know that you are God. You are of the same essence as that of God. But unfortunately, we have forgotten ourselves, and due to being identified with the outside things, we are, all of us, whether rich or poor, learned or the unlearned, under the going of a grand delusion. If you know how to rise above body consciousness, how can you come out of this delusion? That's the point. So this is only if we can analyze ourselves from the body. At the time of death we do leave the body. But if we know now to leave the body, then I think our whole angle of vision will change. Now we think that worldly things are too much, they are of importance. Whenever we ask anybody, well, are you putting in any time to your own self? He said, no time, what to do? I am just going to job, no time to attend even the talks, no time even to go to somebody who has just realized that state of his own self, and his conscious co-worker of the divine plan, he considers these things are more important than that. But just consider for a moment, if you are given a notice of leaving the body, somehow or other you come to know that you are leaving the body, say after 2 hours or 6 hours, what will you do? Naturally you would like to know where I am to go, who I am, why I have been forgotten here. When a man body is left, where the indweller goes, this question will arise. And I told you, one pilot came to me in Delhi during the daytime at about 2. He came very much running, perspiring. I told him, what had made you to come to me at this time? He says, I have been given 6 hours notice to go to the front. Will you tell me what should I do? That field, what should I do? Who is that I? And that we are too. So Master tell us, please, death is the last enemy that we have to conquer. All who have taken the body have to leave it someday. No exception to the rule. Even the Masters who came, they took the bad body and left it. We also have to leave the body. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, accident may arise on our way back. You see how President Kennedy went over there, never dreamt of going, but he was all by accident, came to an end. But similarly, the fate awaiting each one of us. So the most very great problem, I would say, that we have to solve, sooner the better, to know ourselves. We are not the man body, we are the indweller of the man body. So that is why when our masters come, they enjoin us, well, please just come out of this grand delusion that you are going, you are living. How can that be? That can be only you can come out of delusion. If you come out of the scope of delusion, I would say, where that is the very body. You are not the body, you are the indweller of the body. You say, I am not the body. will tell you, leave it at will, put it out. Here's my vajra, say it is my vajra, say it is mine. But this body has to be left someday. If that comes up, God forbid, some orders come up, we leave this town all at once by tomorrow 5 o'clock, what will you do? You won't think of the possession you have got, you think where to go, how I will be escaped. I'm giving you just something to bring home to your heart, how ignorant we are. We know that sure there's no escape for death. It may come up in the childhood, may come up when we are grown up, but we may come after some years. After all we have to go. The wise man with the foresight is one who whatever is going to happen after years, he has to be ready just now. The masters tell us, well, pass your each day considering as the last day of your earth life. When going to bed, go into the lap of the past. And when you arise in the morning, well, start afresh. So this delusion in which each one of us is going, we have great power, you see. Our master used to say, with little concentration, if you develop it, you can stop a running train. And that is within you already, on account of diffuse attention. We are so feeble, you see, so weak. So that is a matter of development, you see. So all masters, what you describe, to know your own self, that you can know only when you just rise above this physical body. But you see that I am not the body. When you see for yourself, as a matter of inference, you draw that I am not the body. But when you really rise above it, you see this body laid aside, your whole angle begins to change. Now you find to leave the attachment of the world is impossible. When you see for your own self, you leave the body, rise above body daily, well, all attachment is cut off. So this is not the only physical body and the outer attachments, but still we have got macrocosm. Macrocosm is in the microcosm of the man body. So according to the macrocosm, God has given us bodies to work through. We are now working in the physical plane through the physical body. We can work in the astral plane through the astral body. The physical body is shaken off at the time of death. Then we can work with the causal body into the causal plane. We can still rise further into the super causal and then transcend all, reach the pure spiritual plane, which is the home of our father. When you analyze yourself, you see there is no delusion. You see everything in its right perspective. So when our masters come, they give us, tell us, look here, please, learn to die so that you may begin to live. Learn to die. What is death? Death is a cage, no bugbear. After all, we have to leave the body, sooner or later. I have come from India. I am no more in India. But I am alive here. Physical will, you are alive in the higher planes, not in the physical plane. At the time of death, we simply pass into the higher plane. If you don't know how to rise above all planes, and in man body only you can learn that, achieve that, then you will go to the highest of the two home of your father. The more you develop in the physical body, the more advanced stage you will have after death, after leaving the body. That will be no bugbear then. So all masters tell us, look here, you must learn to die. Then you see, all these things are for our use. We are not meant for them, you see. They are to make best use of. So they tell us, oh friend, if you like to have a awesome life, then learn to leave your body at your own. The people ask him whether it is such a death which will lead us to the grave. He says, no, it will lead you from darkness to light. So, Katya, friend, I tell you one thing, advise you to learn to die. Then, even before your actual death arrives while alive, if you now know how to leave your body, then no fear of death is no further fear. So Kabir says, so long as you do not learn to leave your body or die, you cannot derive the full benefit of having the man body. So that was he says, well, go on, high on, as quickly as you can, just learn to leave your body at all. All the world over dies. Because they remain attached to the world, they go where they are attached. If by leaving the body their whole attachment is cut out, because all glory and beauty lies within you, you are just drawn there, you see. You are not to return. So Kavi says people are dying, again take birth, again die. But he says, I have just learned to die in such a way that I am not to come again and not to die again. That is only when you learn how to leave the body. When you leave the body, all your attachments are cut out. You see things in their right perspective. Even thousands of monies, possessions, everything, you know, well, nothing of this can go along with us. Truly, not a single thing can go along with us. Even this body, who is the first companion who comes along with us in the world, that also does not go along with us. How those things which are, to which we are now connected can go along with us. It is the soul alone that go. So for that reason, he says, it is always better. You must learn to die while alive. But if you know how to die while alive, that's the point. And how to learn. If you learn to die before your actual death comes, you see, then you will have everlasting life. So these are the things what all masters have been telling, to just come out of this delusion and saying, well, you realize your own self, you are gods. You are of the same essence as that of God, but under the control of mind and outward faculty, you have forgotten your greatness. If God, excuse me if I say, He can create a universe with one word of His, our souls are great, we can also raise not a universe, at least a land. But when it becomes a mouth before God, well, it can work wonders. So as I was telling you, is it a fact that we can die while alive. We've got references to such things in our scriptures. St. Paul tells us, I die daily. And Guru Nanak says, if you learn to die 100 times a day, but Satyananda can have no attachment to the world with it, because he knows. So this is the last enemy that you have to form consciousness. All masters say that. Now the question arises, why we are afraid of death? By death alone we can have everlasting life. Not just everlasting life, you see, what we consider in the terms of our finiteness. I remember a case when I was at Lahore in Punjab. One man, he went to a Christian minister and they say, learn to die so that you may begin to live. He heard this message from him. So what he did, he took a glass of wine, put opium into it, sufficient enough to kill him. And he just put the glass before him and said, oh God, I am coming to you. How ignorance is that, you see. Masters never say by such a death you have everlasting life, but you must learn how to leave the body at home. And that you can learn at the feet of somebody who knows the way, and he is called a master. The very first sitting he gives you some experience to die, to rise above body consciousness. You forget. He gives you, opens the inner eye to see the light of God. And when you once know how to rise above body consciousness, every day-to-day practice, you will come and go 100 times a day. So this you can learn at the feet of a master. Somebody questioned me the other day, how the soul withdraws from the body while alive. I told him, please come and have a sitting. There's no philosophy to prove it. It is a matter of actual experience that a man has, of course, and the literal thought of a person in whom that soul is become the mouthpiece of God. He is what is called a master. So those who have just learned that way, day to day living the body, they are not afraid of death. Why are we afraid of death? That's the point. We are afraid of death once because at the time of death we have to leave the body. And we do not know how to leave the body. Those who are ignorant that way, you see the fate of some men dying, how great agony they are. If you know the very first day, Master meets you, shows you how to rise and practice day to day, then no fear of death is there. And second reason is why we are afraid of death is we do not know where to go. When doing daily practice, you become to traverse in the higher planes. The more you advance, you can even have a glimpse of the true home of your father while in life on earth. Such a man, you see, if with the grace of some master, we learn how to die while alive, by his grace, the God in him gives you an impetus, you rise above body consciousness, then really you become, what you say, you will be hankering after death, you see. Because all glory and beauty lies within you. Kabir says, the world over is afraid of by the name of death. But he says, when I hear the name of death, I'm all joy, all happiness. I hanker after it. But that is the why, because he says, when we leave the body, my soul will be one or in the lap of the Father forever. It is saying of one who has become one with God, why did not? And similarly, Maulana Rumi, when his last day came up, he was in his sweet reverie inside, and the saints came up and prayed for him, oh God, give him a recovery. And what did he say? He opened his eyes, let this recovery be for you. And he said, why? He said, I was in the world very busy in the outside things. I could hardly snatch away some time to withdraw from the body, enjoy the sweetness of the Lord. Now this body has been the only midway barrier which I could not get enough time to transcend daily, but now is the time this body is to be finished up forever. Don't you like that I may go and be in the lap of my Father forever? You see the angle of being changed? We are afraid. And when we go to a master, he gives us that experience how to die daily, rise above body consciousness. By regular practice, we come and go as we please. Once my master was sitting, he was a doctor. He put in the question, how men dying were alive. And he was sitting, he could be do. And the master and doctor was testing that he's alive or not. So my point is, we know rigmarole not only now a way of saying, but it is a fact. If you'd like to have that thing, you'll come out of the grand illusion which we are going now, and we'll like to die daily. Similarly, you'll find, it is said, we should not weep the master's saints, but they go to the true home, you see. Only weep for those who have not achieved this object of life, which you could have earned in life. But Tulsi and all others bear testimony to it, that the saints have experience of flying, rising to the beyond, and one man is convinced only when he sits by his master to have that experience. And what is that experience? That's the point, that when such a master meets, he gives you an experience by sitting. They know why and wherefore, no reasoning, nothing of the sort, you see. You see for your own self, really you forget your body and rise above it. Your inner eye is open to see the light of God, the experience of God while alive. So you'll find we are great amongst all creation. We are next to God. We are divine in nature. But we have forgotten ourselves. Being under the control of mind and outgoing faculties through which we are identified with the world all over. We think perhaps this is the true home where we have to live. All those with seeing with open eyes that we have to leave the body someday, and with all that still we are not at heart of hearts convinced that we will die. So this is what is before us to solve while alive in the man body. We are great. We are of the same. We are spirited man, you see. We are everlasting. God is. We are the children of light. Our light is concealed by the various sheets or the coverings or the physical astral column, super column coverings. But the first is the iron, I would say, covering of physical body. Of our own self, we cannot rise above. If anybody can do it, he is welcome. If not, just go and sit by someone. Guru Amar Das, he was in Satya diet for 70 long years. He was talking about from one, I mean, practice to the other. Whatever man told him, he did, lived up to it. Without that, he could not rise above body consciousness. The reason why? Generally, all people who prescribe the methods for knowing God, those methods are relating to your outward faculties. Either they are based on your feelings or emotions or intellectual inferences. That is no direct contact with God. Even if you have taken the way of philosophy, philosophy deals with theories. And it is mysticism, deals with reality. The masters who are in contact with God, when you meet them, you see you rise above body consciousness. And how? By having sitting and seeing. When you rise above a daily lens to rise above body consciousness, all your outward attachments are God. It is the attachment to the world that is the cause of our coming again and again. But if you want to learn like that, you are attached to the unchangeable permanence by shaking off all sheets or covering, well, you are not to return. You will have everlasting life. So that to be on the way of having everlasting life, we must learn to die while alive. Even the ministers of all religions, they are not conversant with this thing. Religions have to do with your outer body, outgoing faculties. And this is something when you rise above body consciousness, rise above all outgoing faculties, rise also above intellect, then you have a glimpse of God, contact of God, you know how to die while alive. So great is man. In man body alone we can achieve this object. Of course, with the guidance of someone who knows the way. It is not a matter of what you say, feelings, emotions, or dying influences. It is something doing something to do with your own self by seeing. So seeing is above all. So all masters who came in the past, they said, well, please sit by somebody who knows the way. Son knows the Father and others whom the Son reveals. God you have not seen. Powerhouse you have not seen. If you come across any switch which is connected with the powerhouse, which is the mouthpiece of the powerhouse, well, if you come across near that switch, you can say you are coming in contact or nearer to the powerhouse. To God pervades everywhere. Electricity pervades all through. But where that electricity is just holding, that is called powerhouse, and through powerhouse you can do so many things. Similarly, God pervades everywhere and resides in every heart. When that God is manifest anywhere, that manifested God can do wonders. That is the God power of the Christ power. the Satya person in whom that is manifest has the competency to raise your souls above senses and outward habits. You have the same experience for a while, but they have got 24 hours of the day and night. So these are facts which I am laying before you. For so long as we have not seen God, what to do? We are tied to the outside world, and that outside attachment to the outside world becomes the call of our coming and again and again. Therefore they say, just have love for one in whose human pole the God is manifest. Love the God manifest in him, not the man body, but we have got respect for the man body also at whose that God is manifesting. So love of the Master is the love of God. Guru Amar Das says, if you like to just worship God, well, worship those in whom God is manifest. It is the God in him. Don't think the Master is a man body. Of course he has the man body through which that God power or the Christ power works. So all Masters tell us like that, that all the methods to approach God, the most important and the quickest is to just have the love of the Master. Christ said, if you see your brothers whom you see you have no love for him, how can you love God whom you have not seen? Well, in whatever human form that God power is manifest, when you sit in this, what you say, the field of action, the personal aura, or the area of the radiation, you feel something. You feel uplift. You feel like an intoxication. So this such a company gives us, if you have even for 1 hour, Maulana Room says, that gives you an effect which you could not derive even by putting in 100 years to out of devotion. You are sitting by soul. He is man body of course, but God is in him manifest. If you just become one with him, what is the result? They are the children of light. Who think of the light, they become the light itself. So this is what is called the devotion to the Master. So whenever man comes across such like people, what they do? They simply look to him and get intoxication even by looking at him, you see. So by so they begin to forget him. So Kabir says, when I was, then Master was not there. When I was conscious of the body, I could not see the Master within. Now, when he is manifest, I have forgotten myself. This is what exactly you will find. The lane or the street or the love is such a one where two cannot remain. Two can remain only as one. This is what St. Paul said, it is I, not now I, but Christ lives in me. This is how you feel at the time. And all Masters tell us like that. The Christ has put it very beautifully. He says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Then he further gives them. Further goes on, he says, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If a man does not abide in me, he is cut off like a withered branch. God man is God in man. And if you become a master man or a guru man, God is within you. So that is the beauty of the masters, you see. Hafiz says, I have now nothing to fear of death or anything, because I am just embedded in my master, you see. I have become one with the master. He says, why I am not now afraid of death or anything? Because the God in him will have lost him. I have just dipped into it. I also have become everlasting. So these are the ways to express how you can become what is called Guru Mukha. He rises up, as you think, so you become. So it is the love alone, not with the worldly things, but love of the Master in whom God is manifest. That is equal to loving God, as He is in that intoxication. You begin to have that intoxication radiated to you. So that is why Christ, when He said, "Well, who believes in me, he will have a rock in life." All masters say like that. What was Christ's power? Christ's power was working at the human power of Jesus. He referred in the scriptures as the Son of Man, and saying the Son of Man, anybody that had to leave with us, leave us. But the Christ was not leave us. That's the God power working at the human power. That God manifested at any human power. That is called the God power or the Christ power or the Guru power. That once He takes you under custody, He never leaves you. That is why Christ said, I shall never leave thee nor forsake thee till the end of the world. Our Master used to say, when men are initiated, the God power or the Guru power resides with the man ever since he is initiated. He does not leave him until he takes him to the true home of the Father. All masters say that. What we have to do, if we have love for the Master, that the love of God in him, well, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let my words abide in you and you abide in me. The first part is clear enough, I think. We should act and live up to what He says. And the second part is little, we got more going into how you can abide in Him. When you remember sweetly somebody, that is their reaction. In whom you are remembering. So when you remember the God in him, naturally that reacted him and he remembers you. Guru says, if it initiates, remembers the God in man, the Master. And what does the Master do? Master remembers all the same in initiates. That is the that power that extends all health and protection, abides, resides with the initiate and does not leave him until he makes him reach the true home of the Father. So these are the things which are, we have to take up and live. Unless we live up to it, that cannot be done. So such a man is a wonderful personality, I would say, in the world. Maulana says, I have seen such a man, body of such a man, you see. I saw the very God, the house of God was just going round and round of that man's body. Well, what is it, such a man's body, even whom the house of God goes round to pay respect to him? Well, this is what is meant, you see. The one, is, to all intents and purposes, is a man like you. But he is developed in a way in which God has manifested in him, and God manifested in him just enables others to raise up the bondage of mind and outgoing faculties and brings you in contact with God. So to have the love of the Master, of God, just there are two ways. One is just when He gives you a uplift to come in contact with God, power, which is called normal world, the outer expression of which is light and sound principle. And the more you come in contact with that, that is love personified, God is love, and the God in you being, you being of the same essence of God, you are also love, but that love is embedded under mind and outgoing faculties, that flares up that love which is within you and charges it again. So just when you sit in the radiation of such a master, even the, by radiation you get uplift. As you think, so you become. So naturally, you get something without any effort, just being receptive. It is said of a painter, you see, they came to a country and met the king of that place and told him, we know very wonderful painting, will you have a trial of us? And the king allotted them a wall, you see, in a big hall, or as you go on and do your painting. When it is ready, you call for me. So other painters of his own country also came up to the king and asked him, well, we would also like to show our, you see, competency. All right, in the big hall like that, there is a one curtain put between the two walls. One side was allotted to those who came from outside, from all foreign countries, and the other was allotted to the painters of his own country. Both began to work. After some time, when the painting was ready, the foreign painters who came up to the king, well, our painting is now ready, you may have a look at that. And the king went there and saw how wonderful it was, of course. Then the other said, would you kindly also have a look at us? He considered at heart a thought, they have done wonderful painting. One can more be better than that. That curtain was withdrawn, and to the astonishment of the king, he saw exactly the same painting which was on that wall, the very one there. The king was astonished. When two women are working and having competition, they would not let anybody know their secret, how it is. And the same painting and with more clearness was also on the other wall. He asked the people of the country, well, what have you done? He said, King, we have done nothing. Simply we are rubbing the wall so much so that it has begun to reflect. So love, true love, rubs all impressions from our mind. And true love of the Masters clear cut, God reflects clear cut. In the glass, you cannot see at your face. If you just put something and behind the face, you begin to see your face. So if you put that covering of love in your heart, all the saints that whom you love, that begins to reflect there, you see him directly. So this is the easiest way to love. That is why it says, who do not know love cannot know God. But it is not love of the, excuse me, it is that love which is called charity, not lust. That love of God, God manifests anywhere, if that is for that manifested God in the human soul, that is just becoming one with God. This is something which costs you nothing. You have already ingrained in you this love, but simply it is misdirected. So remain where you are. There is no need of any change of religions. These teachings already exist in all scriptures. All masters who came in the past did so. By parallel study of religion, you find the same thing. Now you need somebody who knows the way, in whom that God power is manifest, who can give you a lift to rise above senses, open your inner eyes to have a contact with God, open the inner eye to see the light of God, and open the inner ears to hear the voice of God. Love beautifies everything. Love knows no burdens. When there's love between two, they become one. So this is the way back to God. Then Guru of the Sikhs tells us, hear ye all. I tell you, whether you belong to one religion or the other, that makes no difference. I tell you the truth. God can be approached only through love. Thank you for your patience here.